Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperatives that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We, at Us Lifting Us, have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's discussion, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you haven't already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Our topic for tonight is, what's in the news, African family? Preparedness? Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Peace, Sister Q. I am always
when I gather with you and the rest of the family, I'm in good company and I'm just feeling fine.
It's good to have you here. Tell us, Brother Thurman, why did you pick the subject of preparedness for tonight's discussion?
That subject is something that stays heavy on my mind because our people are suffering while others are doing quite differently in terms of preparing, including preparing as they have for all of our lives to do us harm and do harm to the earth included. And they go after it vigorously, and they go after us vigorously in all subject areas. And we come up with words like killing, and in the meantime, they're getting busy, and we're putting ourselves in further and further danger, considering the fact that the war is being waged on us that has never, ever stopped. And we must be in the mindset and go through the various, our lifestyle. I really meant to change the title when it says preparedness and change it to preparedness lifestyle. And we should make it a lifestyle. And I'll get to that in a minute, but my motivation is that we are suffering and there's things that we could be so much more well, but not only that, so much more secured and fortified with food and stored up food and water and all of those things as part of the preparedness lifestyle. And go right ahead.
I like that you called it a preparedness lifestyle because we tend to want to do things in the moment. So we think that, you know, we can prepare and then go back to doing what we ordinarily do. And I think when you say lifestyle, I think of mindset, or it's a mental, the preparedness has to be in the mental state first before before we even get to the point of doing it physically.
I agree with that. I love that. I love that. Good word. And so I wanted to, and that's real, real good what you just, it's vital, you know, off of the list, yes. And wanted to mention a few things, just a few things. It's all kind of things that you and I and the sisters and brothers in the listening audience on the telephone and by internet radio, everybody doesn't have the same comfort. Everybody doesn't have clarity. There's a lot of confusion. But recently, a whole bunch of our people and others around the world were celebrating those of us that have a larger vision have called for a long, long time, the 4th of July. And it's something before we made this go around and we were born, somebody like Frederick Douglass, you know, way back then in the 1800s did a speech, what is the 4th of July to the slave or to the Negro. And it's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, probably July the 3rd. And any of us that have not listened to Frederick Douglass, it just helps you to take a stroll through your mind about what this subject is about and how dare us to be celebrating it. And it's like one of our ancestor writers and teachers, Ishaka Musa Barashango, wrote two books years ago called African Origins and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide. Yeah, African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide. And there's lots of African people never heard of that book, but we really need to just start with the title, African People and European Holidays. That's all of them, not some of them. A Mental Genocide. And it has a picture of pretty much all of them, the 4th of July and pumpkin season and Satan Santa season and Valentine's and on and on. And that's what it is. And the book is actually posted probably July the 3rd on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page so that you can look at the title and get his name, Ishaka Musa Barashango. And also posted at that time I got an image of somebody wrote that, imagine celebrating your rapist's birthday. See, we got to be real enough to be for real about life. That's when we get clarity, and then we're not confused. So we're celebrating people that raped us. And just imagine that we would do such a thing. We would go out and buy a bunch of food, including get sick food, not get healthy food, and celebrate and go to fireworks, explosions. And then in the real world, noise and explosions is violence. And then another thing that's in the news, and I'm glad I brought up the explosions because I actually intended to include this in this conversation, the initial conversation about in the news. If you take the time to look it up, fireworks are made of toxic metals and chemicals and plastics that get shot up in the air. And from the time that it ignites and before it gets way up in the air, it's polluting the air, the water. And it's not only polluting and contaminating and leaving those things there, but in the process of it, boom, it sends shockwaves through nature. And they have actually studied animals, including eagles and other birds. It shocks them and frightens them so much that they will leave their nest and don't come back.
Wow.
Yeah, so we.
I had not heard that before.
Yeah,
right.
Most people
I hadn't
have
heard that before.
Yeah, so that's something that you can look it up. You can look it up because I did. And we need to know that. And so when we say, well, oh, it's just fireworks, but then look up what it does to the waters. It pollutes the waters. It causes toxic effects to the water and all living beings, including two-legged beings like African people. And it pollutes the soil, fireworks, and all bombs do. All bombs pollute the earth and the atmosphere.
Right.
This is not something that we're here tonight to be making up. And we've got to wake up and take the pillow off from our head and be for real. And on a higher level, dealing with the subject of July the 4th, this is something that was brought to the world by the original people, the ancient Africans. And it's on the Us Lifting Us page. Should have been, it could have been July the 6th, but it's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page. So you can read what I'm not going to read because you really need to read the bigger message. But what I'm going to read is, says, this is the reason, and it's got an image of the earth and the earth's orbit and the sun in the Sirius star, and it says, this short message says, this is the reason behind July the 4th. This is why they made a holiday on this day, because, and just to give emphasis, they have made holidays about a lot of things, but they were drawing from the power that African original people knew that the particular day was about, and then they used that, the energy of that day, but otherwise they corrupted people's minds and got them going off celebrating something else rather than an energetic boost and an energetic, yeah, just an energetic movement that's in the universe. And so it says, this is the reason behind July the 4th. This is why they made a holiday on this day. The mother star, Sirius A, conjoins with our sun and the earth. This alignment causes a powerful paradigm shift. And then it says, but since we don't have knowledge of self, other people and entities harness the energy present on this sacred day while we blindly give ours away.
That sounds like same kind of thing that is done December 26th.
Yes.
It is said that like the so-called elites or the people that want to be in control take that
yes.
day as a day like of silence to harness the energy on that day, and they have people all over the world running around talking about Christmas and going to the store and doing this and doing that. So, I wonder if that is the same for almost every holiday, or, you know, what they say is a holiday that they have as a day to make noise and be running all over the place, if the ideal thing would be to just sit, be quiet, meditate, do that kind of internal work on that day.
Yeah.
Even if you're not
yeah.
particularly sure what it's, you know, what day it represents, that meditation and internal work will have it reveal to you exactly what's going on in that time period, I think.
I agree. And so, yes, it would be a time that we would be in tune and be quiet into our silent power and our meditation and harness the energy of the universe. And the universe wouldn't be making a whole bunch of noise and blowing up a bunch of stuff. the blowing up stuff is the inner desire of the ones that do that and advocate for that, because they are into violence. Historically, they're into violence.
Go ahead.
Say it again.
No, Steve, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to go on to the next thing in the news.
Okay.
Yeah. And it says, greetings, family. We desperately need, and these are the words of Baba Baruti in Atlanta. We definitely mm-hmm. need every one of us to understand the importance of common sense security. Common sense security. It is vital that we protect ourselves and those we love from the misbehaviors of those who look like us, but in the confusion of their self-hatred would harm us, as well as the obvious enemies. We have a responsibility to be prepared for any threat to our safety and sanity. Next to Kabuka, which is another event that happens annually, Complementary mm-hmm. Conference, which is another event that he puts on annually, this presentation about common sense security is the most important message we offer the community. Its deeper significance lies in the practical solutions it provides to assist us in making our lives and communities safer places. It is a functional, commensal discussion which guides us towards making ourselves and spaces safer in the volatile, violent, insecure, worrisome reality. And even though the brothers need work and a refresher in this area as well, this is a special invitation for sisters to join in for this presentation. We need you, sisters, safe, and this is our contribution towards that. Brother Baba Baruti. And mm-hmm. this event is going to be live streamed on Saturday, July the 8th, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to Baba Baruti on Facebook, but also you can go to the Lifting Us Facebook page and click on it, but you'll be able to find what I just read and more. But it's Saturday, July the 8th from 12 noon to 4 p.m., and it's going to be an online lecture for the entire family.
Okay.
It's a common sense security, and he does this annually, at least annually.
Uh-huh.
And for the most part, we absolutely just like preparedness, which security is part of the preparedness. That's why I said that security lifestyle is just a broad, broad thing. It's not, you know, one subject area. It's everything that we're dealing with, common sense security.
For sure.
And another piece also hosted by Baba Baruti. In the traditional African view, moral responsibility is corporate. A wrong done by the individual will have adverse effects on his or her community, and the community shares responsibility for the wrong committed by its members. And so, for example, when it says a wrong done by the individual will have adverse effects on his or her community, imagine that if we were out blowing up firecrackers and explosives and polluting the community, what we did is having adverse effects on the community. Imagine that nature it has run away from home and left their babies and advised some people nutty. When you when you research the adverse effects of noise, so we can have no ethical, just no moral justification to allow our people to be confused, miseducated, and misled, duped and deceived. It's our responsibility, and as it says, the community shares responsibility for the wrong committed by its members. We share responsibility for the foul mouth rappers and what they're rapping and encouraging some of the folks to go kill each other and slang dope. We play a role. We've got a tremendous responsibility and opportunity because all of our problems are solvable or correctable. We have power within us and within the universe to transform energies, period. And we can use that when it comes to our people. In another news piece that I want to read, most people wouldn't be familiar with this. There's a powerful, creative, resourceful, talented writer, poet, brother Abu Jamal, that's a political prisoner. And his book, Live from Death Row, he wrote, "Where were the white cons," talking about inmates, "where were the white cons of death row?" Which the question is asking, where were the white people that's on death row? He goes on to say, a few months of silent observation provided the obvious. The death row block offered direct access to 2 yards, talking about outside yards, one composed of cages, the other free space, water fountains, full court basketball spaces and hoops, and an area for running. The cages were for the blacks on death row. The open yards were for the whites on the row. The blacks, due to racist insensitivity and sheer hatred, were condemned to awaiting death in indignity. The event provided an excellent view in microcosm of the mentality of the criminal system of injustice suffered by the toxin of racism. And so to put it simply again, they designated the cage space for black death row prisoners, and the European ones had the open yards, and they could run in. And so this is coming from Abu Jamal, a political prisoner that's live from death row.
Wow.
And a lot of people know who Abu Jamal is, but if we don't bring up his name to people like him, a lot of us still don't know who he is. But we need to know that even in death row, you're thinking everybody is there waiting final execution in the same locked up. And he's saying that all you got to do is just be quiet and just watch, and it's obvious the difference. And so next I want to mention probably about 6 days ago, and a lot of sisters and brothers got benefit from it. It's 2 pictures. One is a skeletal image of the pelvis of a female and the other is a skeletal image of a pelvis, a bone skeletal image of a male. And some people have to read what I'm about to say and watch this, and it really clicks in their head. But the message says they can't change this no matter what they think. A male is a male, and a female is a female. And if you were looking at the image, which is on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page of about 6 days ago, there's an obvious difference visually of the skeletal pelvic region of the female versus the male. And part of the message is to say that what the universe and nature created in terms of the design and makeup of the female and for the male is consistently different for the male and the female, and there's no other variations in there. And it's kind of to give some food for thought that when you think about it, that we either born male or born female, and from the skeletal image, there's no other option.
You know, a couple of months ago, I don't know how long ago it was, that the individual that set up the school, the Christian school in Tennessee, when they did the autopsy, I think the autopsy identified the person as a female, I think it was, although they were trying to say that, you know, it was, he identified as a male, but using the bone structure and what they call anatomy, the differences in anatomy and between men and women, at the end of the day, she was classified as a female. And I was just seeing today an article where a doctor said that he was a professor, a medical, you know, he taught students, I think, in medical school. And he got fired for saying that, you know, there's a difference between men and women based on the X and Y chromosomes. So they're really taking this transgender stuff to crazy levels, because they're teaching the doctors that there's no physiological difference, that you are just whatever you think you are. And so they're teaching doctors, teaching med students, that men can get pregnant, that, you know, that there's no real difference between men and women. So why would you go to a doctor that doesn't know that basic piece of information?
All right. And I got one more in the news piece I want to read. And this is some more, I think, very interesting food for thought, something that should awaken people. And it was a news source that was posted, I believe, on the news, on the media news, June the 30th, 2023. And it says, and it shows a picture of the Amish people and a horse and a buggy and women dressed like they're dressed. And it said, and it says, unvaxxed Amish death rates 90 times lower than the rest of America. And see, that's a powerful message, which is saying they who didn't take the vaccination, their death rates are 90 times lower than the rest of America.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That says
they
a lot.
They also were saying about the Amish this week that there are no autistic children in the Amish community, and they're now starting to admit more that the vaccines that they've been given, like the childhood vaccines, are a cause for autism. And they're saying they've never seen an unvaccinated child with autism, and that they have never seen an Amish child with autism. They never vaccinate their children. So that's more support for the people who have been saying that not just the COVID gene therapy shots, but vaccines in general, the childhood schedule of vaccines that they say to give your children. They've known forever that those things were causing problems. As a matter of fact, I think that's why they were giving them, because they were creating customers for the disease management system. Because, you know, they're sick, they're going to always need medication, they're going to always need you know, some kind of medical attention, or, you know, going to the hospital periodically or whatever for all of their lives. So they're a source of revenue, and that was the purpose of making vaccines the schedule that they did. It had nothing to do with the health of the children at all.
Okay. Thank you, sister. And I want to go ahead and move into some conversation and input from the sisters and brothers in the listeners and audience about preparedness. To give a definition, preparedness is defined by the DHS, you know, government organization, as a continuous cycle of planning, organizing, training, equipping, exercising, evaluating, and tackling corrective action in an effort to ensure effective coordination during incident response, meaning when they have an incident and they respond to it. And just what I read, if we look at the world and African people, we're not on a large scale involved in these things of preparedness, such as planning, organizing, training, equipping, exercising, doing preparedness exercise. And I'm not talking about strictly about physical exercise, but they do exercises, you know, in a piece of land or park or whatever. And then they evaluating and they take corrective action in an effort to ensure that they have an effective response.
Uh-huh.
If we're not doing any of those, then that means that we're not prepared. And so whatever could come in the morning, if it's a tsunami, it's going to come and cover half of the East Coast. We're not prepared, and we would just have to say, help! So when we're prepared, we have a totally different response. So it's just like when we're prepared in living a natural lifestyle, then we don't generally have no desire to be at the mercy of the medical, pharmaceutical, surgical people. And so therefore, when those that are seriously into natural living and natural wellness as a lifestyle, should they trip and fall, for the most part, most of the time, is get right back up.
For sure.
But when they live a lifestyle, including what's now medically called sitting disease, then the ones that are candidates and participate daily in the sitting disease, they have been told and the marketing people are coming after them to tell them to get this device that you put on your wrist so that because of your age group, when you fall, that'll be a terrifying thing, and you fall and you don't exercise, and so therefore you can't get up off the floor. So you get this device on your wrist and you say, help, I fell. But now you're at the mercy of the system. And
for sure.
We've got the opportunity to not to be in that position. And so we prepare and make it as a lifestyle, and we would be ready for the tsunami amongst us. We would know something about the area where we are. We would know something about evacuation routes and things like that. So going on, there's areas of preparedness includes water, food, shelter, clothing, tools, security plans, common sense security, weapons, sanitation, first aid, evacuation plans. And amongst African people, we could spend some time asking them, you got any clue about storing up water and where would you get the water from? If you got any clue about the food and shelter, and if you had to build a shelter, lean-to shelter of some type, got any clue? You got any clue what kind of tools in terms of having a preparedness lifestyle, you'd have some idea of some tools. And even if you could only have one, what would that be? We need to know what that would be.
For sure.
I mean, it could be an axe, you know, which has got a sharp blade on it, but also it's got a hammer on it. And so it could be used for a lot of things. And security plans. If we have no security plan, then we're just totally vulnerable day and night. So it's like brother ancestor Robert Williams and his family, the author of the book, Negroes with Guns, when they really took it seriously that they're going to do something about the night riders that were raiding their farms, they put in place security plans, including night watch. And so when the night riders came again, because they had a security plan in that area, the night riders didn't come no more.
Right. Brother Sherman, we have a hand raised.
Yes.
So, let me take this call.
Okay.
Caller with the last four digits, 8518, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment or ask your question. Thank you.
Greetings to everyone. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. How about yourself?
Beautiful.
Say your name again.
I didn't get your name. My name is Daryl Hill.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Daryl Hill. I'm in Philadelphia. What was your name, sister?
Sister Q.
May I ask what your name was?
Sister Q.
Sister Q. And
yes.
Brother Sherman, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm in good spirits because we are dealing with information that we need to be dealing with instead of the cartoons and the soap operas.
Absolutely. Well, I'm very happy to be on this call tonight. I don't want to say too much, but I do want to say that you made a very true statement when you said that all of the problems that we are having as an African community can be resolved. God has given us a blessing. Millions of people have no knowledge about. I have an opportunity that can put incredible income in people's pockets every week. Residual income every month. Close the wealth gap. That's what we're going to do. We must be unified. We must be focused. And we must be effective. Now, everything we do starts with our economics. If we're not starting from there, we don't have a fighting chance. So what I'd like to do is just give you my phone number, if you'd be so kind, just give me a call, and I'm going to give you some information that I'd like you and Sister Q to take a look at. What state are you in? May I ask?
May I suggest that you go to the website, uslistingus.com. There's a place where you can leave comments and information there rather than put it out there.
Okay.
It's uslistingus.com. Go to the website. You'll find it. You'll see it. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you for the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, and also I thank you, brother, for calling in. And so when you do, as she was saying, then we can read the information, and you're talking about economics, which is real serious, and Us Lifting Us is very much aware of it because we're about leading our people back to the original economic model, the ancient model, which is cooperative economics. And we need to know about that. And so because you just so kindly presented just a few details, go to the website and leave your contact information and some brief words, and someone will contact you from Us Lifting Us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And also continuing on. Sister Q, about barriers of preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
We should always be prepared and trained, always be prepared. And that's why there are people that vigorously study, other people in particular, studying off the grid, living and prepping, preppers that storing up gallons of food and water and getting into ancient, well, a few hundred years old information, but ancient information included about how they could live without having to go to a store, without having to spend physical money and things along that line. Because for one, when it comes to a lifestyle of a preparedness lifestyle, it would lead us, especially among the wise, to grow our own food and be living off the land as the creative forces that created us intended for us to do, and as we did do before the invaders came.
Mm-hmm.
And that's waiting for us to come back and get it, to go to the land and through the energies of the universe as well as the energy of this planet, we can use it appropriately and grow food and build things a lot of times without ever having to leave the land. And continue on with about that. So we have to always be prepared, always be prepared. And it's just like an African proverb says that when the gazelle wakes up in the morning, if it's not ready to run, the lion will catch him and eat him. And so if the gazelle, like a lot of folks that were celebrating with the get sick diet, the 4th of July, had they been a gazelle the next morning, they'd still be knotted out. Well, then what does that mean? That the train or the predator or the enemy would get them. The gazelle is always, unless he's ill from some reason, injury or whatever, is always, when daylight comes, prepared to run. And that's why the wisest of the gazelle is very difficult to catch, very difficult for the lion to catch him. And so we have to be prepared and trained. And if we did that, then if the tsunami is coming in 24 hours and we had to add a place and we had an evacuation route that us as a family, African family or African village could, we know the evacuation route that we're going to follow, you know, through the through the woods and through the bush. And we were told we had 24 hours to get somewhere, 25 or 50 miles. When we're prepared like the gazelle, we'd make that and get there. But if we have been living a sitting lifestyle and we've got excess baggage to carry around every day, then people like that, if that was me, y'all should leave me. You still love me, still love me, but you can't carry me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
the Gazelle family, like I told you, if they did what people were doing on the 4th of July and ate their ribs and things like that, then they'd had to leave that one that did that because he's not fit and prepared and having continuously trained every day to be fit and functioning to run. And so like I said, we need to know all of these things, including we need to, in our houses, we need to identify the safest places to go, you know, in a storm, like, for example, a tornado. And on a higher level, there are people that are having houses being built, and either they have a bunker outside in their yard or somewhere else on their land.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't, they built a fortified space within the structure of their house that would withstand a whole lot of pressure, and it would be nowhere, wouldn't be the danger of broken windows and glass flying through and harming them. And we need to be aware of these kind of opportunities, the options that we have, and use them. And so other folks all across the country and around the world has got bunkers. If they're not under their house, they got them in the backyard or wherever. And when they hear that thing come across the radio or the telephone about a 200-mile-an-hour tornado coming, they go there and close the lid or however they got it arranged, and they're not a bit worried that the tornado is going to take them out. It might take their house that they walk out of down, but not them most of the time, not all the time.
Right.
All depends on their
behavior.
And so we need to be prepared. We need to train. We need to know. We need to learn first aid and CPR. We really need to do that. This is part of the preparedness lifestyle. We need to train each family member how and where to shut off the utilities in the house, including electricity, gas, and water. We all need to be trained on that. And when you train on that, continuously training, meaning you don't just go through it one time and leave it alone. The people that's into emergency preparedness lifestyle, they train over and over and over. The people that go to the gun range and shooting, but they training over and over again, regardless of their motivation for doing all of the shooting and training to shoot for, they training over and over again. Not once a year, not once every 5 years, on a regular basis. A preparedness lifestyle for the wise, I think I said, is growing food towards living off the land. And when we are doing that, we also would grow food, would grow ideally in rich soil that would have an abundant crops and various different foods. And I'm talking about plant-based food sources. And we take the abundance and what we're not eating from month to month during the growing season, taking it and dehydrating it, canning it, making it that we can store up for the non-growing season, the cold season, depending on where you're living. And as I said, you can can a lot of the foods that's grown, or you can dehydrate them. Canning is just consumes up more energy, and it's a process, but the people have used it for many, many decades, and there's people that have 3, 4, 5, 6 shelves with 4, 5 high with quart bottles of canned foods, tomatoes, mm-hmm. and a whole lot more. And we also to live a preparedness lifestyle for the safety of ourselves and for the planet. We should strive to use non-toxic containers. And there's a lot of people that's now getting into growing things, and they're growing things in all kind of containers, and they're using all kinds of substances to make it happen. And one of the things that I looked at today, because a lot of people are buying up these things, and that are these galvanized metal, or gray kind of mm-hmm. metal is galvanized. And the galvanized metal, mm-hmm. the coating is toxic coating. And they're being used for mm-hmm. water troughs for horses and cows and pigs and chickens and things like that. But people now are buying up these big galvanized troughs to plant their vegetables in. But mm-hmm. what happened is that some of the acids and some of the in the food causes the zinc and other toxins that's in galvanized steel to come off into the food. And there's people that
okay.
they really don't give a hoot. Some are just plain long don't know, but then there are those mm-hmm. that really don't care. And then they would say, Sister Q, have some of my tomatoes that I grew. But we've got to pay attention to not polluting ourselves and not polluting the ecosystem and the universe included. And and it's a lot of things to learn. And it's just like canning, for example. There's canning jars that are specifically for canning, and they have a higher heat rating. And if you just mm-hmm. buy some lesser quality jars, if you put them in the pressure cooker or even in the oven to do canning in the oven, they will shatter them. And we need, so that's why we need to have these kind of conversations.
Right.
And wanted to, I did just mention that about the galvanized. Because we need to know it, because a lot of people are buying up these things, they're planting stuff. And I've seen lots of YouTube videos where people are just smiling with how their plants are growing, because these things can accommodate a lot of soil, and you can do it in your mm-hmm. backyard. You do it. Some of them are small enough; it could be in an apartment, or on a balcony, or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And I've got a piece I'm looking at that says you can be the most healthiest person on the planet, and without the right kind of mind, unhealthy not only for your people, but to your environment. You are the virus. And so there's people that's committing, if they like, they're committing a virus to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be knowledgeable of it. So knowledge is a garden, and if it isn't cultivated, you can't harvest it. And that's what the garden is about. You plant something, it needs to be cultivated, but if you don't, if you cultivate it, if it grows and it's not properly cultivated, you let the weeds grow up, then you can't harvest it.
Right. You know, I would like to add two things to your preparedness lifestyle information. This has to do with transportation and cars, particularly in what they call hurricane season. Don't let your tank get below half full in your car. When it gets half full, tank it back up. And also know at least three ways to get from point A to point B. So
good word.
Know how to get without going on the freeway, because they try to crowd everybody on the freeway, and that's the primary evacuation route they tell you to take, and that is where, you know, people get stuck because they run out of gas or the cops stop the traffic to cause confusion. So learn how to take secondary roads and back roads as much as possible to get where you got to go. That's what I would suggest.
Good.
Right off the top of my head, you know, because that's one thing we get focused on going the same way all the time, and we never learn how to go any other way. And if there's a congestion on the route we always go, we don't know how to get where we're going. So we need to practice having many ways to get wherever we're trying to go. And we need to learn north, south, east, and west. So if we're trying to go, you know, if we got to go somewhere, we know we're headed in the right direction, even if we're not on the street or the highway that we're normally on. We know we're going west. We know we're going south, whatever. And learn to read a map.
Yes, I agree. Yep. I've got a lot more that I would cover if the time allowed. A sister posted this that I'm getting ready to read. It says, you need some camp skills, some skills about camping. Learn how to shoot a rifle. Make a fire. Trap, I mean, trapping animals is talking about. Fish and build natural shelters. And all of us need to know that. And there's a whole bunch of us have no clue. We got a total disconnect with nature. And so if we took a trip out in the woods and stayed there for an hour, a bunch of people would be screaming and hollering, having a fit. The bugs are biting me and ticks are crawling on me. And they will. But we have to become acquainted with nature again so that as a preparedness lifestyle, if the storm comes and the power goes out, that you could still function with the power out and you wouldn't be having no fit and heart attack because the air conditioning ain't on. We need to get reacquainted to where we are not addicted like a junkie to the air conditioner. And so therefore, when you go outside, so it's like last week, 90 and 95 degrees, I was smiling about it. I was out planting some stuff and doing some stuff, and I had a choice. I could have been somewhere inside. I didn't want to be. And I was just enjoying it, and I had a quart of water that I had taken out into this garden area, and I set it down and let the sun shine on it. And when I needed to take a drink, of course, the water was not just warm, it was hot. And I just smiled to myself, thinking about the people that have gotten such a disconnect, they would think, well, where's your ice? I don't need ice.
Right.
But it's just a mindset. And so we've got to learn the skills of connecting with nature again, because if we don't, we're doing ourselves a disservice. And with that, then anything that comes forth as a an emergency or whatever, an attack on us, be acquainted and comfortable with nature. And nature's got its challenges. And life, in a natural and universal way, got challenges. And so when the sun shines and it's 100 degrees, it's a challenge, but you just work with that in a sensible way and you still live another day. And also add some more, but I want to say to the people, your nourishment shouldn't only come from the foods you choose to eat, but also from your relationships, your movement of your body, your inspiration. Nature should come from nature and much, much more. Are you being nourished in all aspects of your life? And this is what Brother Wilfred Campbell wrote. And family, I think, and I had some information about mushrooms I wanted to get into, and about off-the-grid living and ways that we could even harness a stream of water, a small stream and bigger streams that can actually turn a compact device that will generate water pump pressure to pump water up a hill, or you can generate electricity also. And we need to know about all these things. And Sister Q, I think there's a song I think you've got that, and I'm not sure if it's "Can We Change the World," but if you play it, you know, I'd encourage the family members that have appreciated this conversation, the subject about can we change the world. We really need to take a stroll through our mind about that. And the caller that called in did, I appreciate him saying that all of our problems are solvable. Thank you, and I thank all of the sisters and brothers, you know, by telephone and by internet radio for joining us. And make sure that you continue. And also, family, please, 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 it's very imperative. Sister Q, June the 1st, yes, June the 1st, and last Thursday, June 29th, have done two powerful pieces that's in the archives of Blog Talk Radio. It's very vital that you listen to it. The last one was June the 29th on Blog Talk Radio that we're on right now. Go to the archives for those dates, June the 1st and June 29th, and listen to the powerful information that we need to know that's going on in the world, and it ain't all good either. Please do that.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Kramer.
Yes.
We want to thank everyone that joined us this evening. We invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.